As we would prepare to look into God's Word, would you just hold your hands out before the Lord and offer yourselves to Him and say, Lord, I build my life upon You. And so, Father, here we are as we worship You, as we seek to build our lives upon You. For You alone are worthy of all honor and glory and power and praise. You alone are the one who is worthy alone. Jesus, You said that Your words are truth, and that if we would build our lives upon You according to Your truth, that we will be like a man or a woman who would build their house on a rock. So that when the storms and trials and difficulties of life come, when the winds blow, we will not be shaken. We will be firm. But if we do not, we will be like the foolish builder who built his house on the sand. We will be washed away. And so, Jesus, we acknowledge that You are the firm foundation, that You are the solid rock upon which we stand. You, the worthy one, we come. Receive the worship that we have lifted to Your name. For You alone are worthy. Lead us now as we would look into Your word. Would You speak to our hearts, I pray. Come against every spirit that would come against the knowledge of God and of Christ, that would bring confusion or seek to cloud our understanding. I bind You in the name, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit of God. We welcome You to open the eyes of our hearts that we might be able to have ears to hear and eyes to see and ears and hearts to receive what You would want to say to us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh through Your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you to the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. And children are here and will remain here, and we're glad that they're here today on this Family Sunday. And I invite everyone, if you have a Bible with you, to open it to the book of Jeremiah, where we have been looking, Jeremiah chapter 12. Unless the Lord would bring something differently. We have today and then next week in this series on restoration, and then we will be done in the book of Jeremiah. But today we're going to talk specifically, as we've been talking about restoration. The work downstairs is in our basement, has been coming along, and we're continuing to wait for the completion, hopefully a couple more weeks. The carpet is set to be installed the week of April the 8th. It's going to take about 4 days or so, a couple days to prep the floor, a couple days to lay the carpeting. So we are getting there. And as we've been going through the basement restoration process downstairs, we've also been saying, Lord, what is it, if there is anything within us and the foundation of our lives and the foundation of our church family that needs to be restored? And last week, we just simply talked about the idea that when the Lord restores something, He doesn't take it back to where it was. He always makes it better. And so as we're looking to make the facility better, we're asking way more than that, that He would make our lives better as He would restore us greater and greater. And the reality is we all are in need of restoration to come back to the place and to be restored to the place that we were always intended to be before sin broke this world. And so that's where we're looking. Today we're talking about present training and future preparation. That the training that the Lord is allowing us to undergo presently has ramifications for today, but also is for the future as well. It's preparing us for something that's coming down the road. A number of years ago, friends of ours were in the process of fundraising for an adoption overseas. And so they came up with the idea. They were runners. This couple were runners. And so they decided that they would try to raise funds by enlisting a few more friends and running five 5K races with three other of their friends. So five people running five 5K races. And so I was chosen as one of those. They asked me, they apparently didn't have a lot of running friends because they asked me if I would be one of those five who would train and would run five 5Ks with them. And so I had been running some in the past years, and so I said, sure, I'm going to go ahead and do that, and it's a great cause, and it'll be a great camaraderie kind of thing, so let's do it. So if you know anything about running, you don't just go out and run a 5K just without any training. You have to build yourself up. And so I went out. I had the goal of, we had the first race in June, and we're going to have more throughout July and August. And the goal was, I got to be ready for that first race. But being a guy and having that pride issue of being an athlete and all that kind of stuff, I didn't want to just finish the race. I wanted to have a respectable time. So I had this twofold goal. I had to be able to run a 5K, but I also had to be able to run it. And my goal was to run it in 24 minutes or less. And so I would run and I would train and I would do everything I could to get my body in shape, and I'd work and work and work. And the last one, I had 24:07. So I didn't quite get there, but it was very, very close. But over time, I was able to get better. I was able to get in better shape, but I didn't go from going out to run the first time to run a 5K in 24 minutes and 7 seconds. It took a process. And the only way I could get there is if I took one goal at a time. First, you got to run a mile, then you got to run two, then you got to run three. And once you're able to do that, then you have times and you just keep trying to bring it down and down and down and down. And you're working at it, working at it. You can't go from zero to complete it overnight. It's a process. It's the same way in our spiritual life. Restoration and spiritual growth in the kingdom of God comes when we learn the lessons and we pass the tests that the Lord brings us to through various trials and tribulations. And we don't just get from salvation to full maturity in Christ overnight. There are tests, there are roles, there are tasks, there are trials that we have to take in order to get there. It's the same thing in life, not just in running. You don't just graduate from high school, do you? You have to start out in kindergarten, and then after you go to kindergarten, it's first, second, third, fourth, all the way up. You have to go K-12 in order to be able to graduate as a senior in high school. You don't just get there. There are tests. There are years that have to go. There are processes you have to go through. You don't just become a CEO of a company overnight without first doing a good job at the entry level, working your way up to management to the place where you become a CEO. You don't become a leader without learning to serve. You don't become a healthy, fruitful, reproducing church without first growing in love for God, passing the tests with others, and loving others, and engaging in the Great Commission. No matter where we are in life, there's always training that we are presently going through to prepare us for the future. Jeremiah was no different. He was under a regimen from the Lord of preparing him for what the Lord had for him from the day that the Lord said, I'm choosing you to be my spokesman. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. But along the way, the Lord prepared him small to large so that he would be prepared to do the work that God had for him of conveying the message to the people of God. Present training leading to future preparation. Three short lessons I want to share with us this morning from Jeremiah chapter 12 and verses 1 through 6. The first, as we're undergoing the present training for the future preparation, is to stop complaining. Now, full disclosure at the beginning, every time I'm preparing for a message, There's something that the Lord is speaking to me about in the midst of that message as I'm preparing. It's not just getting something to talk to you about. The Lord's talking to me about these things even as I'm preparing. Let me tell you something. This message is like really, really personal for the days I'm in right now in my own life. And I find myself right here, most of all, as the issue that the Lord is dealing with me on, and stop complaining. Jeremiah begins in the first four verses of chapter 12 complaining. He comes to the Lord and he says, "You are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you." Isn't that interesting how he starts? He starts his complaint before the Lord saying, "O Lord, you are always righteous when I bring a complaint before you. When I bring a case before you." But he says, yet. So as soon as you hear that, there's a big pivot, right? It's, "O Lord, you are always righteous, yet." Now I'm going to go this way. There's a heart issue going on. "Yet, I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease?" What a question, isn't it? Why do people who don't care about you at all, why do they prosper? And why do they live at ease? God, I've got an issue with you because of them. Verse 2, "You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but you're far from their hearts." These are people who would not have been shaking their fist at God. These are people who would have praised God with their lips, but yet with their hearts, they were far from the Lord. These are the people that Jeremiah has issue with. It's the people in his own hometown. Verse 3, "Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked. The animals and birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, 'He will not see what happens to us.'" Here is Jeremiah complaining before the Lord, beginning with that acknowledgement that God's always righteous and then pivoting with that question of why, God. He complains about why these wicked people who acknowledge him with their lips but are far from him in their hearts, his own hometown people who had just tried to have a plot to kill him, why these people prosper. If you would read before in chapter 11, there's a plot that's going on and Jeremiah gets wind of it and he's able to get out of there and to be able to be protected. But other prophets of the day died according to this plot because there were people who did not like the word of the Lord at the time to turn from their idols, to turn from their wickedness and to come back to the Lord, the one who is the spring of living water. And so they had this plot and they were killing prophets and they were trying to kill Jeremiah. These are people that aren't like coming out from another country. These are people that are in his own hometown. He's like, "Lord, why do these people prosper?" See, it's not bad to raise these complaints to God. It is bad when we resist what the Lord is trying to do through the situations. You know, there's some times when we can come before the Lord. The Psalms are full of it, full of these opportunities, full of these accounts where people just complain. David was a great complainer. You read the Psalms and he's just, he throws all of his pain out there. But his heart's always turning, his heart is always saying, "But do whatever you want with me, Lord." But Jeremiah, as we read on, we're going to find that he has a little bit different heart attitude because his complaint is not met with, "It's okay." His complaint is met with, "There's something we have to do about this." See, not here. God is in the midst of using the difficulties that Jeremiah is undergoing, these plots against his life, in order to train Jeremiah for what he has for him in the future. But as he is complaining, he's missing what God's up to. He's missing what God is trying to accomplish in the midst of all of the pain. So, for all the children today, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that now this is definitely not any of you, I know. But imagine that you want some help? We'll have to work on that. Okay, Nahum's not on there. We'll have to, we got a faulty word search here. But none of the kids, this doesn't apply to any of the kids here, I'm sure, but Imagine a student who comes home and doesn't want to do their homework. I know that doesn't apply to any. What this student would rather do is go outside and play, especially now that the weather's starting to turn. You want to go outside and play, or there's something at home you want to do. You want to play with some toys at home, or you want to play video games or something. Anything other than homework. And so your mom or your dad comes to you and says, hey, you got to do your homework to the student. And the student's like, no, I don't want to do the homework. No one else is going to do the homework. Why do I have to do the homework? And now this parent, and I'm sure that this is none of the parents that are here in this place, say, you know what? That does seem kind of unfair. You don't have to do your homework. The child is going, what? Woohoo, it worked. Until they go the next day to school, and the teacher hands them a pop quiz on all of the work that they were supposed to learn in their homework the night before. Now they stand there completely unprepared while everyone else is acing this quiz. This student, because they complained and got their way and pushed away the work that was there for them, was unprepared for that test. See, as uncomfortable as it is, as much as we don't like to do these things, if we do not go through the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, the tests, the preparations, we will not be ready for what comes down the road. And in the kingdom of God and in restoration in general, you cannot progress if you don't pass the test. You will be stuck right where you are. And so complaining can be one of those things that keeps us stuck right where we're at, because instead of focusing on the trial, on the tribulation, on the difficulty that the Lord is allowing to come into our lives, we complain about it, we argue with God, we cross our arms, and we say, I don't want it. And we miss what God is up to. The Lord responds to Jeremiah in verses 5 and 6, and he says this. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? And if you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Your brothers, your own family, even they have betrayed you. They have raised a loud cry against you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. See, God is saying, stop complaining and receive the trials that are coming into your life. Receive the difficulties that are coming into your life, Jeremiah, as training. Because he says, if you have raced with men, and those men have worn you out, if you can't beat a man, then how do you expect to run with a horse and beat a horse? And he says, if you stumble when everything is nice and flat and safe, how are you going to survive in the thickets? And there's some background to this. Some translations will translate it differently. But the idea is that every year the Jordan River would flood. And in the midst of the flood, the thickets that would be around the Jordan River, where there would be things like lions and other just predator kind of animals, would hide in these thickets. Whenever the Jordan would flood, it would come up to the thickets and it would push out the lions out of the places where people knew, I'm just not going to go into the thickets because that's where the lions are. But once the Jordan floods, comes up to the thickets, and the animals, the lions and other predators get pushed out, now they're running around where the people are. And so God is saying to Jeremiah, if you can't survive in the flatland, how are you going to survive when the Jordan floods and the lions are starting to come after you? And if you are not able to handle the attacks and the plots of your own countrymen who speak well of you, but yet are out to kill you? Ultimately, how are you going to survive when the Babylonians come? Because if you think these things are bad, Jeremiah, just wait till you see what's coming your way. So God is so straightforward with Jeremiah. He's simply saying, here's what I'm trying to accomplish with you through all of these trials. I'm trying to promote you and prepare you and give you trials and tribulations and tests so that when the really hard stuff comes, you're going to be ready. See, as the Lord speaks to me, I have to be a person who stops complaining as much and who instead receives the trials and the difficulties and the things that are not easy as training for what is coming down the road more. If we can't pass the test now, how are we going to be able to pass the test in the future when it gets more difficult? See, oftentimes what we do is when trials and difficulties and tribulations come, when painful things come, what do? We try to push them away. We try to fight against it. We try to keep it out of our space. We try to keep it out of our families. We try to keep it out of our personal lives. We try to keep all the bad stuff out. Could it be that the Lord is saying, would you let some of the things come to you? And trust me that I will be your protector and I will be your teacher and I will be your helper. And when the hard things come, that I will not let them destroy you because I'm a lot better at it than you are. And would you receive it so that you might grow? Because I'm about something bigger. These present difficulties are training you for what is yet to come. Bingwa, can I have you come up here for a quick second? So if, come on up here. I didn't tell Bingwa this. So if Bingwa is coming to me to try to harm me.
Push you away.
Yeah, come get me. And if I try to push back, okay, oftentimes how I do it, if he's coming to fight me, what do you do when somebody comes to fight you and harm you?
Run.
You run.
That's my boy.
That's your boy. I love it. Somebody comes to fight you, what do you do? You either put them up or you do what? You try to defend yourself. You try to protect yourself. And now that works in a human-to-human relationship. And that works in trials and tribulations where I can protect. I can put fences up. I can put borders up. I can guard myself. I can do whatever I can to keep the bad stuff out. But what we don't think about is what happens when we do this. There's a collateral effect when it comes to God. I can protect myself from Bingwa, but who am I also protecting myself from? God. See, by putting walls and barriers and defenses and fighting against trials and tribulations, I may keep those things out, and I may not have to deal with that difficulty, but at the same time, I'm also putting up barriers that keep the Lord from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in me. And so as counterintuitive as it sounds, when Bingwa comes, I receive it. You know, this is the countercultural stuff of the kingdom. Jesus says, if somebody comes and hits you on the face, what are you supposed to do? Sock them back? No, you're supposed to turn the other cheek, right? How are we going to receive the lessons from the trials if we're always fighting against them? The Lord says, I'm your protector, I'm your shield, I'm your fortress. Stop doing it yourself. Receive the trials and tribulations and difficulties so that through them, I can be your protector, I can be your fortress, I can be your shield, and I can do a work in you that will prepare you for what's next. Because if you're always like this, you're going to stay right here until you receive what I have for you. Seems backwards, doesn't it? But if I'm always complaining and I'm always fighting back and I'm always pushing against the things that I don't like, I'm never in a place where I can receive what God wants to do in my life through it. Receive the trials and tribulations that are going to prepare me and build me and change me and transform me to be like Jesus so that I'm able to take the next step with him. So that lastly, stop complaining, receive these trials as training, and lastly, so that we're ultimately prepared for the future. See, God was turning Jeremiah's eyes away from this attack, this plot against his life, and saying, listen, I'm about something bigger here. So look to the future, to what I have in store for you. Receive this. Let me use it with your eyes ahead. The tendency for a human being is when we're in the midst of a difficulty is we look at the difficulty. Rather than looking up to the Lord and saying, Lord, what are you doing through this difficulty? Help me to see past it. Help me to see over it to your perspective so that I can see what you want to accomplish through it. And so, would you prepare me for the future? Stop complaining. Receive those trials as training so that ultimately we will be prepared for what God has coming down the road for us in the future. I was thinking about my kids. My kids love Legos. And my kids started with these. These are Duplos made by Lego. But as you can see, it's a pretty good sized piece because the same corresponding Lego piece is this. So here's a Duplo for little kids. Here's a Lego for older kids, and you never stop being a kid when you have Legos. Now, if my kids had to start somewhere, if as a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old, they wanted to start using one of these, they're fine motor skills were never going to be able to accomplish building something with this. Reading instructions, they would have never had the ability to read instructions to be able to build something with this. So, start with this. And as you start with this and they get proficient in this and they're starting to build things and create things, and the directions that comes with Duplos are like, you know, the picture's about that big and it's like one step at a time and it's like, put this piece on. Step number two, I'll take this piece and put this piece on. It's really, really slow, elementary, big pieces, big pictures, small steps. When you get to these, it's lots of pieces, many steps in one step to create something big, to the point where now my kids are building things like this. This is Chicago. They would have never been able to do this if they didn't start with this. See, there's some of you who are here. And you're frustrated because you're here. And you've been here for a while. And where you want to be is here. But you've been complaining about being here. And there's some of you who are just, you've graduated from here and you're here. But you're not really building much, too much more serious right now because you're still here and you're like, when am I going to get to build the big stuff? And the Lord's saying, focus on this. And then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll see it after. See, no matter where you're at, we always have a lesson that the Lord is trying to do to prepare us today. And we can't go to the next place until we pass the test and learn the lesson for right now. So for all the children who would normally be in children's church, can I challenge you all to this? Can I challenge you to make up your mind today that when hard things come, and even when you got to do homework, or when there's a difficulty, when there's a relationship with a kid that's bullying you at school, or there's this tough stuff that you're going through, can I challenge you to make a decision today that you're not going to complain? And then instead you'll say, instead of complaining in this hard time, would you, God, help me to see what you're trying to do and how this can prepare me for the future? Help me to learn from it today. And can I challenge those of you who are in your early adult years, my age, a little up, that when the trials come, like they come, when the obstacles come, when they come, not to view them as something to avoid, not to look for the way to shortcut it, to get past it, but instead to say, Lord, I will receive it, and I will allow you to use this to train me for what you want to do, because I recognize that advancement in your kingdom and full restoration will only come if I can pass this test here, and if I can learn the lesson that you have for me here. So can I challenge all the people who are in my age group and younger and a little older to receive it? And can I challenge all of you who have way more experience than I do, who have seen and gone through and learned more than I may ever learn in my life? Can I encourage you and challenge you not to stop your training? Because God still has more for you. He's not done. And there may be challenges that you're going through right now that even though you know way more than most of us in the room, you still don't know everything that God knows. And he's still working because he loves you, and there's still a future that you haven't walked into that he still has prepared for you. So continue to undergo the training, no matter how much you know. For all of us, may we look at these things as opportunities, not as obstacles to run away from. May we be a people who can vent for a moment but not complain about it to where we resist. But may we be a people who receive what the Lord allows in our lives and say, Lord Jesus, would you use it right now to do a work in me that will prepare me for what is coming down the road? I don't know about you, but I want to run with horses. How about you? And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to be on the rocky ground, on the places that aren't safe, and be able to handle it. And I don't know about you, but I want to be among the people that when the enemy throws the hardest thing that he has, that we're able to stand and say, our God is bigger, and we were able to stand in Christ and see the victory won. But we will not be able to do that if we don't learn the lesson today that will prepare us for what is coming down the road. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray blessing over your people. I pray blessing over the children. I pray blessing over young adults and mid-age adults and little older adults. And I pray blessing over the senior citizens. I pray blessing over every person from the youngest to the oldest, that we would be a people who continually are being trained by you because you know what we need, so that we are prepared for the future that you have for us individually, for our families, and for our church family, for the sake of the world and for the glory of Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the worship team to come and lead us in a closing song.